friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Here again, these Beatitudes of our Lord Jesus and also the woes of our Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 17. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is God's word. Please be seated. So what is the meaning of a gift? If someone gives you a gift, that means that, presumably means that they like you, right? If a guy gives a girl Valentine's flowers, well, must mean they're not married yet, but he's interested. And what if someone gives you towels that you didn't register for as your wedding gift? Or what if you get a bottle of cologne or perfume from your sibling that's the exact same one you gave them last Christmas? What if an unruly child suddenly starts gifting you with hugs and helpfulness, coincidentally, just days before his birthday? What if a husband gives his wife a big screen TV a week before the Super Bowl? Or what if he runs out of the house in the evening of their anniversary and comes back and presents his wife with a gift beautifully wrapped in a Walmart bag? Not that I've ever done that. I'm just saying. What is the meaning of a gift? Maybe you remember Mark Sanford, the South Carolina governor who cheated on his wife Jenny with his Argentine mistress. Jenny might have known that her marriage was on the rocks when Mark gave her, as a combined birthday Christmas gift, a $25 used purple bicycle. What is the meaning of a gift? You know, perhaps it's not as easy as you might think at first. A gift might mean that somebody likes you, or it might mean that they're being selfish, or that they felt obligated, or desperate, or had an ulterior motive, or maybe even that they really don't care at all. In these past few Sundays of this Epiphany season, we have seen Jesus give some amazing gifts. At the wedding in Cana, he saved a family from public humiliation by giving them the gift of wine. And not just a $5 bottle of the cheap stuff, but a couple hundred gallons of the really good stuff. And last Sunday we read that Jesus gave the gift of healing, as he did in our gospel reading today, as people came to him with their diseases. And again last Sunday, to Peter, James, and John, he gave the gift of the biggest catch of fish they had ever been part of or even seen. But what is the meaning of his gifts? In John chapter 6, after Jesus had fed a large crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the people took that gift to mean that, well, this is what Jesus had come to do, to be our bread king, the kind of king who provides everything you desire in life, who makes sure that your bellies are full, that your bank account is fat, that you are prosperous, and that life in general is going your way. And you hear a lot of this kind of preaching even today in the so-called prosperity gospel. The belief that financial and material blessings and your earthly well-being are always God's will for us, and that He will give you more and more of this prosperity if you'll just give Him more and more of yourself, and of course, some of this too. People who believe that kind of a gospel would change the Beatitudes if they could to read like this: Blessed are the rich. Blessed are those who have full bellies. Blessed are those who have a reason to laugh. Blessed are those who are well thought of. Blessed are they because God's gifts in this world mean that you are on God's good side, and His gifts are signs that of His acceptance of you and of His favor. But Jesus specifically warns us against that kind of thinking when He says, "Blessed are the poor, but woe to you who are rich. And blessed are the hungry, but woe to you who have full bellies. Blessed are you who are weeping, but woe to you who are laughing. Blessed are you when you are hated in this world because of Christ. But woe to you who are well thought of in this world. Blessed are those who know hardship, because in their scarcity they are more likely to seek the mercy of God. But woe to those for whom this life is full of good gifts, because in your abundance you are more likely to put your love of this world ahead of your love for God, like the rich fool did in Jesus' parable. So while those whose lives are full of good gifts have it good right now, the day is coming when the tables will turn. The rich become poor. Full bellies become hungry. Laughing becomes weeping. And those who are well thought of receive the same fate as the false prophets, who were also well thought of." In other words, you can't trust your earthly blessings and God's good gifts to mean that you are in a good standing with God. Jesus specifically said in His Sermon on the Mount, "God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust." And in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, in its meaning, we say, "God gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people." So if God's good gifts to us in this world should not be taken to mean that we are specially favored by God, then what is the meaning of His gifts to us? Well, the true meaning of His gifts can only be understood rightly in the light of the cross and of Easter. It is not the good things that we have in this world that reflect our standing before God, but it is Christ's death and resurrection for us that give us our good standing with God. Unlike every good gift that we have in this world, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus never pass away. Jesus cannot be killed. He just comes right back. And those who trust in Him, those who are baptized into His death and resurrection and believe in Him, shall not die. As Jesus Himself said, "Whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." The good gifts in this life make us blessed for a while, but Christ makes us blessed forever. And not only that, Christ is our eternal gift and our blessing, for richer or for poorer, in abundance and in hunger, in rejoicing and in weeping. Whether we are loved or despised, Christ makes us blessed forever. So what do His gifts to us in this life mean? I think the meaning of his gifts is the same as the meaning of Jesus' miracles. The good things that our Lord gives to us in this life are a foretaste of the eternal gifts that he has in store for all who will inherit salvation. As the psalmist says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When Jesus fed those crowds, that was just an appetizer of the eternal feast in heaven. And when he gave that dead girl back to her parents alive, that was a harbinger of the reunion in the resurrection of all of God's saints. And when he healed people of their diseases, that presaged the eternal health of our risen, glorified bodies. And likewise, every good gift that we enjoy now is but a down payment on better things to come. Think of the best laugh you've ever had in your life. A laugh that just filled you and chased away from your mind every dark thought. And then take that laugh to the 10,000th power. And maybe you begin to know what the joy of heaven is going to be. Are you blessed with money right now? In the kingdom of God, you're going to have wealth beyond Solomon's wildest dreams. You think the food tastes good now? Just wait till you sit down to that feast on the mountain of the Lord that Isaiah describes as a banquet of aged wine, the best of foods, the finest of wines. And do people think well of you now? Well, just wait until you hear the Son of God say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. You see, the gifts that we enjoy in this life are not a reflection of how deserving we are, but instead it is a reflection of how good God is. His mercies are new to us every morning, not because we earned it, but because of his steadfast love and his great faithfulness to those whom he has fashioned and loved. The meaning of the gifts that we enjoy in this life is very simply this. God loves us, and he loves to give gifts. And most especially, he loves to give his most extravagant gifts, the gifts that cost him the most, the eternal gifts that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. The God whose mercies are new to us every morning also says to us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him. And this promise is sealed to you. Not with money, not with abundant food or earthly happiness or fame, but with the blood of Jesus, in whom you have every gift that counts, forgiveness and life and salvation. So, blessed are you who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For not only will the God who cares for the sparrows also supply you in this life what he knows you need, but he will give gifts to you forever that you can't even begin to imagine right now. Good gifts in this life are a blessing, but Christ makes us blessed forever. In his name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.